Spirit fire over him now in Jesus' name. That your truth would burn in him and through him and to us. And Lord, thank you that he has been given your authority. He's seated in heavenly places with you. So Lord, may he come in your authority and with great joy and celebration that he carries your presence and your message for us today. So bless him, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come. We give space to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Maria. All right, just get myself organized. Oh, good afternoon. I got it right this time, not morning. can you just put the initial one on and then I'll take it from there? Thanks. So we've been talking over the last few weeks about mission, about how as Christians we carry this amazing good news of life inside of us, and it's too good to keep to ourselves, but it's for sharing. But I wonder, you know, when we hear that word mission, what emotion do we feel? What emotion do you feel? Are you like one of those people that's kind of raring to go? It's like, yeah, come on, let's go. Or you might be a little bit more like me, and it comes with a sense of maybe some fear or inadequacy, or that's not really me, or not sure if I can do that. And we kind of have this tension that we feel inside of us because we know that it is a clear command of Jesus to go, and yet we don't see ourselves as the kind of person who can go. And if we stay in that place of seeing ourselves as, you know, not someone that can obey that command, we kind of tend to, we can keep ourselves in a state of insecurity or fear or inadequacy. And, you know, every time we hear one of those sermons about mission, it comes with a sense of conviction because we know it's right. But it can come with a sense of shame as well, because we don't think we can quite get there. But what if this idea of mission, of being sent out, is actually more about the one who sends us than about us? Okay, so in Matthew 10, Jesus says to his disciples, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves." So it's pretty clear he's sending. But this is the 12 apostles, so you might think, okay, well that's kind of like the special people, that's not me. And then if you go to Luke 10, now Jesus is speaking to the 72. And he says the same thing. "Go your way, behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." So it's not just the 12 apostles, it's the 72 as well. And the 72 kind of represents all of us. You know, he sends out the 12, and then they come back and he sends out the 72. And we're included in that 72. And he's using this imagery of the sheep or the lambs. And why does he use that imagery? Well, I think he's deliberately pointing us to himself as the shepherd. So if you go to John 10, so if you go 10, 10, 10, Matthew 10, Luke 10, John 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So we're going to take a look this afternoon about how when we are sent, we're not just sent as us going out, we are sent by our good shepherd who leads us. Because our identity, you know, how we see ourselves and our ability to answer the call to go isn't meant to be defined by who we think we are, but it's defined by who we follow. So who are you following? So the earliest, one of the earliest places we see this sheep and shepherd imagery is the psalm that we all know, Psalm 23. You know, we often use this psalm at, you know, funerals. It's kind of a nice psalm. But we don't think of it as a psalm for life. And it really is. So we're going to walk through a bit of Psalm 23. And let's try and reframe how we think about mission by looking at the one who sends us, our good shepherd. We haven't got time to linger on every verse, so we'll kind of walk through and stop in a few places. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just as an aside, when I was a kid, I never got this verse. I heard that, I thought, the Lord is my shepherd. Why would you not want the Lord? It took me a long time to get that right. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I can't get the next one, that's all right. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So immediately, when we get into the start of Psalm 23, David, who wrote the psalm, he reorientates our thinking. Well, he didn't know it was Jesus, but I'm just going to say Jesus. He reorientates our thinking around Jesus. Because when we hear the command to go, we end up making it all about us. We come up with all our objections inside of ourselves. But you know, he starts off by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So immediately, it's about the Lord who provides. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Life is about Jesus. It's not about us. So let's pause for a minute on this verse just before. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Because one of the objections we come up with is that I'm too busy to go. My life is already full. How am I ever going to get rest if I just keep doing things? But let me ask this question. Where do we find true rest? You see, I don't think we're actually very good at rest on our own. But he is. Our version of rest ends up looking like distractions. You know, and there's nothing wrong with a good novel or a Netflix show or a game. You know, that's, you know, we all need a bit of that as well. But it's not true rest. And we don't find true rest in those things. And he uses this picture of, you know, he leads me beside still waters. Now, what I've heard is that the sheep, or at least Middle Eastern sheep, I don't know if it's the same here, won't drink from running water. The water that's rushing past, they won't drink. And so the shepherd would come along to the stream or river and carve out a little section so the water would come through and make a nice still little pool for the sheep to drink from. You know, and our lives can sort of feel like everything is always rushing past us. There is no time to stop and rest. But when we follow Jesus, he makes space for that. So as we follow him, he carves out this little space and says, hey, stop with me a while. And that's the place that we find rest and peace. It reminds me of what Ruth shared with us a few weeks ago. You know, we need to slow down to catch up with God. He's trying to carve out these spaces for us where we would stop and enjoy him. And we can be so busy being worried about the things rushing past us and sort of distracting ourselves from all of that, that we miss the rest that he has for us. It also reminds me of this funny little section in Song of Songs right at the start, as we bring it back, this idea about mission, where in Song of Songs 1:7-8, it says, tell me, you whom my soul loves, where you pasture your flock, where you make it lie down at noon, for why should I be like one who vows herself beside the flocks of your companions? Like he's saying, where do you find pasture? Where do you find rest? He says, if you do not know, O most beautiful among women, follow in the tracks of the flock and pasture your young goats beside the shepherd's tents. In other words, you are going to find rest and food when you do the job that I've given you, when you pasture your young flock. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, this is an interesting verse because we think of it as, again, as a real nice kind of thing. You know, I'm feeling a bit anxious and Jesus restores my soul and But really, you could translate this as he brings me back. It's a verse about repentance. He causes me to repent. If you think about, you know, the story of the lost sheep in Luke 15, where Jesus goes out, leaves the 99 to find the one. That's what this verse is. He comes out and he brings me back. And notice how he says he does it for his name's sake. He does it because that's the kind of shepherd he is. He's not the kind of shepherd that leaves even one sheep to be lost. He's the kind of shepherd that rescues. He's the kind of shepherd that won't leave anyone behind. Every last lost sheep matters and he cares about them. That's the kind of shepherd he is. He does it because that's who he is. And this is kind of encouraging because if you're struggling, feeling wobbly in your faith or in your ability to go when Jesus says go, know that this is who Jesus is. He is able and willing to bring you back for his name's sake. So all those things that we can feel about mission, that tension between what we know he's saying and what we feel we can do, he can take care of that. He's a good shepherd. Is this the kind of shepherd that you'd follow? And the good shepherd can lead me through difficulty. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, Jesus is pretty real. You know, when he was sending his disciples out, as we read, he said, I'm sending you out as lambs among the wolves. You know, I don't think he'd read the book about inspirational leadership. And he said, you know, in this world, you will have trouble. Life is not necessarily going to be easy. So let me describe this valley for you. So this picture of the valley of the shadow of death, it comes from real valleys in the Middle East. And it would be a place between two mountains, and it'd be a rocky narrow path to go from one place to another. And so, you know, cliffs on either side, so steep that in some places there would be no light. It was the valley of the shadow of death. It was dark. A risky place to be. Bandits would hang out there. And so they would travel through quietly to make sure they didn't get heard and caught by bandits. Because if you did get caught in the valley there, there was nobody to help, nobody to hear you cry. The sheep had to trust their shepherd. And quite often, it would be the only way through, the only way to get from here to here. So there's a couple of things to say about this. Firstly, if you're in the midst of difficulty, just know that there is a way through. It says he leads us through. He leads us through to the other side where there is light again. The valley is not the destination. And we don't have to fear. And this is really the crux of the psalm, because it says, "For you are with me." He is with us. If you look at the structure of the psalm, this verse, "You are with me," sits right in the middle. And in Hebrew poetry, the bit that's right in the middle is the really important bit. You are with me. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And you know, when Jesus sends us, when Jesus says go, he doesn't do it from the sidelines. He doesn't sit there and say go, and then we're on our own. He says go, and he goes with us. And the amazing thing for us in this New Testament era is, do you remember Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you know, "It is better for you that I go so that the helper can come." So Jesus, by his Spirit, is with all of us all the time, leading us even through the difficult parts. And our shepherd is not defenseless. He says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And we know about the staff bit, you know, the shepherd's crook, which will, you know, guide us when we go a little bit off track and pull us in. The rod I didn't know about. The rod is like kind of a mace. It's a weapon. Do you remember when David was talking to Saul and he said how he'd killed the lion and the bear? It would have been a rod that he used. It was like this sort of stick about yay long, heavy end, I think bits of stuff in it on the end, and a good weapon for whacking a lion or whatever. I think we're going to be surprised when we finally meet God face to face and find out how much he has been protecting us. You know, this is our shepherd. When there's enemies all around, and he's got this club, he's like, "Nah, this one's mine. Get away." You know, and this valley is a place where I said there can be no light. We don't always see the ending. We don't have to. We're okay if we're with our shepherd. We don't have to see the end from the beginning. And often we can't. Often it feels like we're, you know, especially in relation to answering the call of Jesus, we feel like he's leading us into something, and we say, "Okay, yes, Jesus, I will go with you." And then we enter this place and think, "God, what were you doing? This is hard. This is the valley." But he's still there, leading us through. Another thing to say about the valley is that I think some of us have this sense that if we follow Jesus' call to go, we have this intuitive knowledge that there's going to be a valley at some point. We know there might be some difficulty along the way, might be some fears that we have to face. and we fear to go through. We hesitate, we hold back. But if we hold back from following Jesus, then we're going to miss what's on the other side. So, do you believe that your shepherd can get you safely through? And the last thing is that our shepherd blesses us with abundance. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You see, if we want to get to this, we've got to be willing to go through the valley. So Jesus sends us out as lambs in the midst of wolves, as sheep in the midst of enemies. And it's in the midst of enemies that he will bless us with abundance. If we live too safe and don't go out, then we will miss the blessing. The blessing is out with Jesus, where he's leading. Now, I'm saying this as a pretty, those of you know me, pretty cautious kind of person. But I think if there's anyone worth taking a risk on, it's King Jesus. Because when it says, in the presence of my enemies, again, we sometimes read this and we think this is all about us. This is about us getting a blessing in the midst of our enemies. And it kind of is. But it's actually more about Jesus, about God being willing to join himself to us in the midst of our enemies. Think of the prodigal son that I talked about a few weeks ago. You know, the prodigal son goes away, brings shame on his family and on his village, and he returns, and the father runs through the village bearing all the shame to go and collect his son. Not only that, but he throws the party. He prepares the table in the presence of the village who probably didn't like this son anymore because of the shame he brought. But the father was willing to say, yes, this is my son. I'm going to prepare a table for you in the midst of the shame, in the midst of your enemies. This is a God who joins himself to the lowest of the low. Think of Jesus touching lepers, of going and having lunch with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. You know, people grumbled about that. They said, why are you doing that? These people are sinners. And Jesus said, yeah, that's who I've come for. It means that our shepherd is willing to bless us and take care of us no matter the cost. Like we read in John 10, I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for my sheep. He says, these are my sheep and I would die for them. That's the kind of shepherd he is. So is that the kind of shepherd that you could follow? So, just to finish off, Jesus sends us out. We are sent. We can't get away from that. No matter our personality, our fears, our things that we think we're not good at, Jesus sends us out. Jesus sends you out. We are sent, but not on our own. We have a good shepherd. He provides, restores, protects, and blesses with abundance. So what do you think? Is he good enough to follow? So, Father, we thank you that you are willing to join yourself to us. You sent Jesus, the Good Shepherd. You care about each and every one of us. That you leave the 99 to go for the one. So, Father, would you come now by your Spirit and just awaken our hearts to see you afresh, to see that in your command to go, that you are with us. You're not just sending us out on our own, but you're calling us to walk with you. So come, Holy Spirit.